Thank you. 16 years. Can we give him a hand for that? 16 years. Thank you. That is faithfulness, and that is something that I found this out. I've been a pastor's kid for my whole life, and I found this out. The people that are interested in the man of God, God has special protection and blessing on them. I've seen that as a pastor's child. The people that are interested in their preacher, in their man of God, I've watched God do unbelievable things in their family, unbelievable things in their life. And if you get behind your preacher, your man of God, and you hold him up or you encourage him, you watch God's faithfulness come and touch your life. And I've got to experience that. I got to see that just being a pastor's son. Now, being a pastor's son also, I've got this little habit of reading people. I love reading people. And I got good at it. And so, you know, I've sat in the pew like you, and I know when you're going to get tired of me speaking, but I'm going to keep speaking. But I've noticed, I know a few things about the church. I've been in the church for a while, and I love it. I love it. And I enjoy the church. I enjoy the work of the Lord. I love youth. I love children. My children are here right now. I have Ryan. Ryan, would you guys just stand up? I have Ryan, I have Levi, I have Luke, and I have Noah in the nursery. He's almost 1 year old. Ryan, you guys can be seated. Thank you. And then my wife, Amanda, is right there. You can wave. There you go. There's Amanda. But Ryan is 13 years old, and when Ryan was born, I didn't have a name. So I named him after me. My name's Ryan. So then they said, well, what's his middle name? I said, I don't know, Lee. That's my middle name. Named him Lee. And then it'd say, well, his last name is Borner. Okay, good enough for me. I didn't know what to name him until I had to go to the doctor. We have the same name. So I went to the doctor, and I went in there, and they looked in and said, I said, what's your name? I said, Ryan Borner. They looked it up and said, okay, Mr. Borner, last time you've been here, you're in here for a diaper rash. Wrong, Ryan. Wrong. So I made a mistake naming him the same exact name with me. But then I have Levi. Levi is just a wonderful son, obedient son, a joy to have around. And then we have Luke there. Luke is a handful, aren't you, Luke? Yeah. And then we have Noah. Noah's my fourth. And when my wife said, I'm pregnant, we got Noah's name. She said, I'm pregnant. I said, no! Oh, another. So she's like, that's a great name, Noah. That was easy. So I got that one down. But tonight, I hope I don't have to impress you with anything special, because what happens is the Lord lays something on my life, and he's growing me and building me, and he's growing and building my family right now. As we're making this move, the devil doesn't want it to happen, and we're making this move, and the devil's just trying to get in there and do things, but you just serve the Lord. You lay it at his hands. You ask him for help. But the Lord is working on my heart. And this was just before Pastor Clear had even come and mentioned anything to me. The Lord is working on my heart. One day I was driving down the road. Who in here can drive? I just want to see. So you're going to experience this. You'll understand this. You're driving down the road, and you're coming up to that stoplight or that corner, and you see someone on the corner with a what? Will work for food sign. Oh, they don't have them around here. I'm sorry. And so we'll work for food. And all of a sudden, I got this attitude in me, and I was thinking, why don't you just, and all these thoughts go through my mind. And I was just like, why doesn't he just go get a job? What is wrong with it? And immediately, the Lord pricked my heart. And he just pricked my heart, and I was like, oh, here it comes. Because as the Lord pricked your heart, and where you're like, here it comes. And he started to teach me a lesson. And a lesson was this. He said, that's a soul. A soul. And in God's word, it says souls are precious to God. And I started to get this lesson learned. Now, it didn't happen all that day. It started through some scripture reading. And then all of a sudden, this verse came out of Proverbs. And we're going to go there, if you don't mind turning there with me. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 9. Proverbs 22 and verse number 9. In Proverbs 22, verse number 9, I was reading, and it said in verse 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. And you know, as the Lord was working me over, And he was just saying, Ryan, let me teach you something. And I'm sitting there going, oh, here we go. And he was saying, hey, this person on the corner holding the sign, he said, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. And I started thinking about that. Lord, what's a bountiful eye? What is a bountiful eye? And so I was looking into it, and he said, man, that eye that is full, that eye that is plenteous, that eye that is, if you can say it this way, you ever see those GoPro cameras with the fisheye lens where you can get a nice big view of things, where it takes a nice expanse, and you can see from one side to the other, and you can see a lot. You get a lot in your view. You get to capture a lot of information and see a lot at one time. And so the Lord's working me over. He's saying, Ryan, he that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed. And I was like, okay, Lord, this bountiful eye thing, you're going to have to help me with it. He said, Ryan, the thing about it is this, your eye, you have to be able to see a person as a soul. You got to see that that's somebody that Jesus Christ died for, that he loves. Does that person know Jesus Christ or not? Was that your opportunity? Did I miss that opportunity to help that man out? But he that hath a bountiful eye, an eye that is looking at people and looking at what they're going through or looking at their life and examining their life and seeing, hey, what is it in their life that I can do something for them through the Lord? What can I do for them through the Lord? What does the Lord want me to do for that person? I believe this with all my heart, that God doesn't make a mistake, that he brings people into your life and out of your life. And if you believe that, then you'd understand this. If somebody comes into your life, then it's no mistake. God wants you to minister to them somehow, some way. And so as I'm driving down the road, and I'm not, this sermon isn't about just throwing change to the people on the side, but what it's about is what the Lord had taught me. He was teaching me to focus on people. Wasn't it Jesus Christ that came? He said, I am not willing that any should perish. What does he mean, any? Those are who? Help me out here. Souls. He's not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as he's just working me over on this, I'm thinking, oh, Father, forgive me. And I started to try this out, what was taught here in Proverbs 22. I started to watch people a little more. And I asked God to show me, what do they need? What can I do for them? And he started to open things up. Just like that GoPro camera brings and it opens up the view that you can see. Because I believe before, my view was pretty narrow. You ever look through a hunting scope? I don't know. Do you have any hunters in here? Okay, Ryan, Levi, just a few of us. We'll hang in there. We're hunters. And you know, when you get in a scope, if you ever have to shoot a running deer, you have to know that you keep both eyes open. If you learn how to keep both eyes open when you're shooting a running deer with a scope, because once you close one eye and you try to get, right, you try to get the deer in the scope and you're all over the place, the deer's over here and you can't figure out where you're at because you have such a narrow view. But when you keep both eyes open, you can see the scope hairs and the running deer, and then all of a sudden, you'll see a deer come into that scope and you'll close one eye and you have perfect view. But the Lord here was teaching me, hey, Ryan, open up the way you look at people. Open it up. He said, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. Are they not a soul that Christ Jesus shed his blood for? Are they not a person? And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, they are. Forgive me. And as I looked, and that verse just worked me over and turned me over, I was reading also, if you'll turn there with me, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I was reading a passage there where it talks about Peter and John. In Acts chapter 3, verse number 1, and I'll just read through some of it for you. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his, what? You got it, eyes, upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that he was that it was he which sat at for alms at the beautiful gate. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. This was Peter and John, and they were going to the temple to pray. And this man was sitting there, it says, daily. He was daily sitting there. And so that means if they have been to this temple before or anything, they would have probably seen this man. The other people that are around, they knew who this person was. Now, the Lord really worked me over on this one right here, because here they're saying, hey, that sometimes in your life, the ones that are in your daily routine of life, God wants you to get in contact with so that he can use your life to affect their life. And many times we'll get frustrated with the people that we see daily. Now, I understand if you work with junior hires, frustration. You understand that. You work with kindergarten kids. You're learning to do math. Anybody work with kindergarten? Kindergarten, okay. And you try to teach them math. You try to teach them, 4 + 1. And they'll say, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. No. You already have 4, just 4 + 1. Just 1. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you get frustrated. You're like, why can't you add that right? And you get frustrated. But here we see that Peter and John went here, and they didn't have money to give them, but they had something very important that that person needed. And that person needed exactly what they had. You in here today that have Jesus Christ living inside of you, those that you meet on a daily routine of life, some of them need that Jesus Christ that you have inside of you. And you might have that attitude, am I allowed to run around and walk? Okay, all right. And, he's employing me, so I do this right. And you guys are testing me with my preaching, I guess. But the thing is this, is that they have this, they have Jesus Christ in them, and they see this person that's in their daily life. And God says, you know what, they don't really have the finances, and they let them know, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He reached down his hand, which is a great picture of saying, hey, I'm not just going to verbally do something for you, but I'm going to physically take my hand, the hand that God gave me, and I'm going to lift you up. What does the Bible say? It says that we are supposed to love our neighbors as ourself. But before that, it tells us how that we're supposed to love God with all of our mind, strength, our might, and it shows us a way to love God. And there's 4 ways. And it shows us those ways. And one of those ways is a physical way of loving God. We're supposed to love him in a physical way. And here they're showing, hey, not just are we going to tell you about our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're also going to reach our hand down, our physical hand, and we're going to help you up in life, and we're going to encourage you in life. You'll never know what your testimony in your Christian life will do to influence someone else. You'll never know. It's amazing how you think, well, my Christian life isn't much. But you see what he's saying here? Silver and gold have I none. But you do have something that is so valuable that others need. And the Lord was working this in my life. And he's saying, you know the bum? It all started from the bum on the corner. And it all started with a bad attitude that I had. And the Lord just started working me over. I say, Ryan, look, let me show you something. Let me show you that these people need Jesus. These people here are a soul and is precious to God. And you have Jesus Christ in you. And you see them on your everyday routine of life. Are you touching them? Are you reaching your hand out to them? Are you trying to help them out? Your testimony can influence so many people. You might think your Christianity isn't that great, or isn't that broad, or isn't as where it should be in your life. But God wants to use you. He wants to use you in a way that he cannot use me. He wants to use you in a way that he can't use Pastor Clear and I, but he can use you. And the Jesus Christ that lives inside of you provides what you need and what I need to do the work of God. When you have a bountiful eye and you start to open your view up in your life and you start to see people as their souls that God put in your life so that you could touch them, so that you could minister to them, so that you could give to them, then all of a sudden your life just starts to swell. I'll give you an example. One year, I always pray every year. I'm like, Lord, could you take this whole year and just teach me something? I remember one year the Lord taught me that I was supposed to learn how to receive and give. Brother Graves, this was an interesting year for me because I thought, okay, Lord, teach me how to do this, you know, because I was reading the word. I'm like, okay, receive and give. It's hard to receive sometimes. Sometimes your pride and all this happens. But I was like, I can learn this lesson. I need to learn this lesson. So I was praying, Lord, teach me this lesson. And all of a sudden this guy called and said, hey, I'm moving. I need you to come over and help me. Can you get rid of some stuff? I'm like, I can do that. If you see my house, I live out in the country, and I like to burn things. And big bonfires, really big ones. And, you know, and he's like, come on over. I need some stuff hauled away. I'm like, you got it. We went over there. Well, he didn't give me things to burn, but he gave me a lawnmower, a riding lawnmower, weed trimmers, leaf blowers. He gave me appliances. And all this stuff worked. And I drive home with a trailer. He gave me a trailer to haul it all. And so I drive home with a trailer and my wife, and she's looking at me like, what is that? And I'm like, I'm not sure yet because I can't burn all this. But I started praying and I started asking God, God, would you show me who I could give this to? Oh, don't pray that prayer unless you want to give it away. Did you know God kept me so busy giving stuff out? And I learned this. When I gave things out, and I'd look, who needs this? Who needs this? Who needs this? I think they need, and I'd give it out. When I would give it out, God would then give me more. And I'd be like, oh no, my wife's gonna kill me. So I'd go and find someone else. I'll give it out some more. And God kept doing this all summer long. There was a young man, he had to go to Bible college, and he was going off to Bible college, and he was going to start a lawn care service. Ching, I get rid of a lot of it real quick right here. I got a trailer. I got a push mower. I got a riding mower. I got leaf blowers. I have everything. So I loaded them up, man. And I drove that thing to his house, said, here you go, buddy. My wife's like, yes, we're getting rid of that. And I mean, as I gave it to him, he turns around and says, you know what? I got something for you. And I'm like, no. And I got more back. But I learned this lesson. I learned this lesson to look at people that are around you every day. And ask the Lord, what do they need? They're not in your life on accident. Peter and John did not run into this man. This man at the gate called Beautiful. Now, there is a beautiful picture of heaven here. If this gate Beautiful was heaven, and this crippled man, let's just say crippled by sin, like you and I when we were born, this man is sitting there so close to entering into heaven. And he thought he needed alms. But Peter and John knew, that's not what you need to get into heaven. You can't pay your way into heaven. And so Peter and John said, I don't have any money, but what I have is Jesus Christ. And they reached down with their physical life, and sometimes you have to help somebody physically so that you can help them spiritually. But sometimes God allows it just you can help them spiritually. And you have to be wise in that area of what to do. There was one time I was driving down the road, and I don't know, God uses bums to affect my life. And so there was this one bum, and I'm sorry if a bum offends you. I'm from the country, and that's what I call them. And so there was a guy sitting there on the corner, and I had beef jerky. Who likes beef jerky? Okay, so I have friends, and you know how it is. You get beef jerky, and you want it all. And so I wanted all this beef jerky, and I had no kids in the car. Because if you're a dad, dads, I see a few dads, when you're a dad and you have a candy bar, you get this much candy bar, and the kids say, I want one, so you're breaking it in half, and you're sharing it. But so I'm in the car by myself with my own beef jerky, and this is cool, because that doesn't normally happen. I'm always sharing my beef jerky. So I'd pull up to the light. I go to open my beef jerky, and I look to the side, and there's a guy sitting there staring at me with his sign, "We'll work for food." And I'm like, God, you got to be kidding me. This is my beef jerky. There's no kids in the car. I could eat this all by myself. And the Lord touched my heart. He said, give them. And so I reached, I grabbed the beef jerky in my car. I keep some tracks. And I had this little John and Romans. And I reached out the window and I said, hey, buddy. I said, I'll give you this John and Romans. If you read this, I'll give you this beef jerky. And he looked at me. And he's like, thanks, man. And grabbed it. And I'm like, oh, my beef jerky. I thought, man, I don't know what the Lord is going to do with that man and that John and Romans. But what I do know is that God doesn't put people in your life on accident. He wants to see what you will do with who he puts in your life. And you may feel inadequate, or you may not know enough scripture, you may think. But God is not so concerned about that as he is about you just being sensitive to a bountiful eye and his Holy Spirit leading you. We need your Christian testimony. Someone else needs your Christian testimony. Who are you around during the week that I'll never be around? Who is it that you're going to influence for the Lord? They need you. Their life depends on you. I know a young lady. She grew up in Chicago, and she grew up in an unsaved home. And a lady that worked on a bus route went over and knocked on their door, invited her to come to Sunday school. She went to Sunday school. She went there, and then they're having a revival, so they said, hey, invite your mom and dad. So they invited her mom and dad. Mom and dad came and got saved at that revival. They came back the next time, and they got baptized. The whole family started coming to that church, and they got saved. The children started getting saved. The family was saved. They started growing in the Lord. And at one point in time, they went into the Christian school. And then into Christian school, they went off to Bible college. And then in Bible college, that young lady met a hunk that she wanted to marry. And I tell you what, they fell in love. They got married. And they went off and they started serving the Lord in a church. And 16 years later, I'm still, praise God, I'm still married to that little bus girl because of one lady that had enough compassion to say, this is my neighborhood. This is my neighborhood, and you're important. You're important. You're her neighbor. Important enough just to ask her to come to Sunday school. Who's in your neighborhood? They need you. There's souls out there that need you. Like he was saying about that song, sometimes we get so wrapped up in the world that it gets our focus off. And you're right on. It gets our focus off. We can get really scoped in on things. We can get scoped in on occupation. We can get scoped in on our hobbies. We can get so scoped in on things, we do not get to see people as the Lord wants us to see them. Can I ask you today? Do you have a bountiful eye? Are you looking at people today and asking the Lord, what do I need to do? I do believe there is a secret to the Christian life, and I believe that secret is this. Jesus Christ came, and his whole ministry was about people. And I believe if you follow that, if you make your whole life about people, it changes your Christian life. Are you having a bountiful eye? Can you see anybody's need? Can you see the Lord leading you to meet that need? I pray that that's you. Can we bow our heads? I'm going to have Pastor Clear come on up here and close this message.
Thank you so much, Pastor Ryan. It's all about vision. It's all about getting our eyes on others.